seems that we're repeating ourselves in history. Doris Gruber brought this up to me, and it's the 55 letters of Joel. I'd like to read it to you. It's been a long time since I read it, too. Rising out of the tomb to all forms of human existence is possible. But possible only in proportion to what you put into the attempt. If you wish to explore an unknown country to make $1 million, you know the sacrifices you would be called upon to make, because you know the sacrifices others have made in attaining fame and fortune. You want health and supply. You want peace and joy. You want life everlasting. And so you must sacrifice both sloth, indolence, laziness, and indifference. You must begin to know the truth today, and know it, and know it, and know it. Each day of knowing the truth postpones a day of salvation. Each day of not knowing the day, the truth postpones the day of salvation. Well, I'm glad to receive that confirmation right this moment, because that's what we've got to do. I made a list of things that will help us. A list that, let's say it's my personal list on knowing, that we won't die. And as Joel said, you must know it and know it and know it until nobody can make you disbelieve it. But you first got to know that it's the truth. So let's weigh these things and see if they are the truth. I labeled it, Christ never fails. God is all. God never dies. Are we on solid ground so far? God is all, God never dies. God never stops being God. I'm trying to stay solid, so we can agree. Mortality is a myth. God did not create it. Now, that's where we have to stop and pause a minute. But if you agree that God didn't create mortality, then it is a myth. If you agree that what God didn't create wasn't created, and there's no other creator, so mortality is a myth. And of course, that's the major ailment of mankind. Everything else stems from his belief that he is immortal. If you go to any doctor, he'll tell you this is a mortal ailment. So how are we going to banish mortality? Well, Joel's plan was simple. You got to know the truth and know the truth and know it until mortality says to you, I give up. And yet you're not any less. You're just what you were before. You appear the same. Now beginning. Mortality has to go. And if you don't take that home with you and rest on it, and slice it in many parts and feed it to the fishes. I presume then, if we're sincere in our quest for immortality, that we have to say immortality is all there is, because there can't be one and the other. So I don't know what mortality is, except nothing. Could we feel that we have at least abandoned the belief in mortality to an extent, although some of us may not have dropped it from our system, at least we realize that in essence it isn't. And now the idea is to undevour it, get rid of it. The end of a false life is not death. Mortality is a false life. And when mortality is over, in consciousness, that isn't your death. That's the end of the stumbling block to life. So then, we're approaching the harder work. Jesus Christ is one with God. And never dies. Paul discovered that. Jesus Christ is one with God and never dies. And then Paul discovered, so am I. I'm asking each one to discover what Paul discovered. So am I. Christ is my identity. Immortals cannot die. God is all. Therefore, I am included in the allness. On that I want to meditate. God is all, including I. I am included in that allness. What conditions am I being asked to follow to achieve eternal life? Well, first of all, I've sent my son to tell the world what I want. And my son has told you that you do this and you do that. You obey my commandments. You follow my will. You say, well, that's easy. I'll follow your will. And then you say, by the way, how will I find it? God says, that's simple enough. I put my son in the midst of you. But you don't know that. You don't believe that because it seems improbable to you. But I put my son in the midst of you. And I put the same son in the midst of your neighbor. And that doesn't seem very plausible to you. And I put that son in every neighbor in the world. Now you've got to scratch your head. You don't understand how anything like that can happen. But you're not God. God does. And God says, that's what I've done. And God is the only authority. So you either say, well, I don't care about you as an authority, or what can I say? You say it's so, and that's it. God says, I have put my only begotten Son in the midst of every person on the earth. Now you're moving in a direction that you don't want to move in, perhaps, or that you didn't think you were going to move in, or that you don't know how to move in, but it's the truth, and you must follow, if you want, what God has to offer. And then God tells us the miracle. Not only is my Son in you, but my Son is mighty. My Son executes my power. My Son expresses all that I am. My qualities are your qualities through my Son. And as it's explained to you, you more or less realize that you want to go in this direction. And now you're quite willing to follow. It's being explained to you. You see how it's going to work. You're going to get this information from the Son of God in the midst of you. You don't know what he's going to tell you, but he's going to press upon you certain information. How he does it, you don't know, but you're willing to find out. And so far, I think we can all agree that this is what is happening. This is what must happen. Now, how do we get that information? How do we locate the Son of God in me? How do we grow up spiritually? Follow my will. My first commandments were material ones. Do this, do that. But on analysis, they're spiritual ones when you look at them closely. Many of my commandments are clothed in simple terms. Quite simple it seems to do them, but they lead to others which are more difficult. They ultimately lead to dropping your sense of personality, dropping your sense of possession, dropping your sense of individuality. Things that you don't like to do. Things that you think, well, I'd like to keep this personality of mine. It's terrific. And I'd like to keep this. I'd like to keep that. And like to add some of the things God wants, but I don't like to give up anything. But you've got to give up your mortality. And whatever is your mortality must go. Because you're not a mortal, and there are none. I never made one. What is a mortal but one who dies, one who passes out of the picture? Why would God make people who pass out of the picture? That's the camouflage. The trap. And old mortals have a lot of fun. They can become great athletes. They can fall in love. They can attain. They can build skyscrapers. They can develop all kinds of security funds. They can do so many wonderful things. Well, I haven't said you should stop doing that. The belief in mortality is what must go. Nothing that you're doing to develop your capacities is frowned on. But those capacities are going to go. So you must have your deeper knowledge in something which is permanent, not temporary. All right, we can see that. What is temporary? What is temporary and what is permanent? What capacities do we have that are permanent? Well, one is living. And the Father says, all that I have is thine. That's a good capacity to live now, and to live forever. What else? Well, the Christ brain is a lot different than the human brain. The Christ brain can see things beyond the momentary vision of time. Christ's brain is able to fulfill the plans of the Father. The Christ brain doesn't work on the treasures of the earth, where rust doth corrupt, but on the treasures of heaven, which are everlasting. Man makes his choice, and then his stocks go down. His crops don't float into the world of appearances. His Dow Jones goes down. He begins to see that what seemed very stable is an insecure situation. Savings and loan begins to totter. The stable institutions of this earth all are of the aspect that is a time. A time temptation. And all the security we build up turns to be very insecure. It's all great at 45, but it's not so great at 85. In fact, it doesn't mean very much. What can we do that's more permanent, that lasts and lasts and lasts? That's what we're talking about, the kingdom of heaven. It is not a myth. It is a specific. Jesus Christ isn't the only one who has gone there. If you could count the souls who live outside of this earth, of this world, you might be dazzled by their quantity. And yet they are all one. Yet they are all at peace. They are all living the life that cannot be described. In 1 minute, they cover what our brain covers in 1,000 years. I'm not exaggerating. All that is not time is at their disposal. Time is just a little tip of the surface . The joys of time are trifles in the eternal. Of course, it's difficult to talk about a land that we don't inhabit, that we never see anybody from, that we only read about, we speculate on. But we do know what we do inhabit. And if the Father promises a better place, a permanent place, if the Father promises that his sons live in this permanent place, especially when we have already spent a good number of our years in this place, then it's very urgent for us to open our eyes and open our hearts and let something open our souls, to go further and further and further until one day I reach a place where I'm almost partially out of mortality. It's not something that happens suddenly, but certain things of mortality are not part of your being. Physicality is one of the last things to go. But the fear of what happens to that physicality is always there, until you can see through the plan and know that what I am afraid of, the very thing that I fear, is an unreality. It has no substance. It feels like such and such, but that is not a real substance. When you realize that all of the ills of the world right now are not in the kingdom of God. Now, if they're not in the kingdom of God, which is reality, where are they? And if they're in unreality, can you get that consciousness that can look at them and know that they can't be real, and therefore, if they can't be real, they're not there? Can you have a car run over you? Say to yourself, this isn't real? How do you get to that level? Well, we're being prepared to slowly get to that level, where the unreality of everything in the material world is an open book to us. Yes, it's a learning process, and it isn't easy. But as Joel said, you've got to try and try and try and try until that mortality drops away. When a man gets run over by a car, that's his mortality that gets run over. You see, this mortality is what we are facing. And we know we can't be mortal and be immortal. So we're facing all the trouble of getting rid of something that we're not. And that's ridiculous. But that's how deeply ingrained mortality is. Never once did the Christ say, "You are mortals." Not once. He never accused us of being mortals, because we weren't. In fact, the whole nature of his teaching was, I can't reveal it to you, but don't you see I'm doing unusual things that have to do with what you do when you're immortal? All these people who come to me with their sicknesses, how do they get well the next day? They're restored to immortality. And yet in your universe, you look through these senses, you see Johnny Jones, he can see again. You never see Johnny Jones, the immortal self that is there. That's how he got well. Well, I'm trying to build your understanding that you're going to go into an uncertain area where you're going to have to feel your way. But it's safer there than this open air street where you walk and feel so good, and where you swim, where you do things, which isn't an unreality, and in this darker place where you don't know what's going to happen, you're approaching reality. If we can convey that, then one day the light will come through the tunnel. So far, I think we've agreed on what we've said. In the history of creation, God never created a life that could die. We can't even disagree with that, can we? God never created a life that could die. And yet we know that our parents and their parents died to our eyes, but those lives were not created by God. And yet, within the life of each one who has apparently died is the Christ who doesn't die. And as long as you know that death doesn't occur. We're all protected from death that way. When we see death, we are hypnotized. It's hard to accept, but we are hypnotized. Every time we read the obituary, or every time we write a condolence letter, every time we send a basket of flowers saying, "I'm so sorry," every time we feel what we feel when a loved one dies, or the loved one of another person, I think that's where we have to come to grips with ourselves. That's our wailing mortality. If we can see past the so-called death of friends and loved ones, I know people who, when someone passes on, they have a party. Sounds ridiculous, but they, not a party really, but a celebration. I'm not talking about the fact that we can talk to dead people and hear them. I'm not talking about these extrasensory reactions. I'm just saying that nobody, no matter what gruesome thing they've even gone through, is ever dead, because the Christ of them is always alive. You can't have a Christ that dies. And Christ doesn't leave. Christ is always there. Christ is omnipresent. So where's Christ going to go? We have got a sub-universe that doesn't meet the human eye, but it's the universe of Christ, the kingdom of God. And we're going to solve it and live in it. Well, let's leave it at that point. I think it's clear that we've come to a place where we've made a decision. I don't think we made it tonight. I think we made it long ago. But we are not fully aware how the greatest problem of our life at the moment is not only the belief in our mortality, but the belief that mortality exists. There's no mortality in any country of the world. Now, it appears that way to 99.99% of the world, maybe even a greater percentage than 99%. But in our consciousness, we live with the knowledge that Christ is universal. Christ has no second self present. Christ is the only self. And I am one with that Christ. We're getting ready for Armageddon, I guess, but one day the soul will meet the mind and there'll be the war. And I'm sure the soul will come out triumphant. But if we can get the picture that mortality, which covers the world, is the myth. Christ, which covers the infinite universe, is the reality. It is where the world sees the mortals. And the mortal is the substitute which our senses make up, which has no permanent reality, and which is, you might say, the only enemy we have. Now, on the basis of all of this, if we can reach the conclusions that Paul reached, that we have experienced the presence of the invisible Christ more than once, if we have seen mortality fade and depart in the presence of the Christ, if we have seen materiality lose its power when faced with open awareness of spiritual truth, well, we're well on our way to finding the light in the tunnel. We want it to speed up, of course. It's one of those things that all you can do is keep doing what you should be doing. Keep knowing the truth. And then keep knowing more truth. And the truth is always the same. Christ is now. Over there, no matter what I see, Christ is now. And over there, and over there, and over there. The omnipresent Christ is now. The omnipresent Christ is here. When the day comes that something breaks through and lifts you even higher, as it must, that will be the day in which all of the bells ring inside you, when you are proving the Christ. It must have been quite a thrill for Moses to see manna fall from the sky. Incredible things. Burning bush that wouldn't fire, wouldn't blaze, wouldn't extinguish itself. But of course, this wasn't so surprising to Moses anymore. He was used to it. But there were thousands who came to Jesus. Each one was a lesson that mortality is a myth. Perfection is the reality. Trust in the Christ who performed these miracles. Find the Christ. Let the Christ live in you. Let it become your daily experience that Christ in me is the greatest thing in my life. I'll see you tomorrow. And do we meet any earlier tomorrow? Is that... anybody know what time we meet? Okay, that's an hour early, right? So we meet at 8:30 for the meditation, and then we have the class at 9. The purpose of that, of course, is that if you've got to get somewhere, you might catch your plane better and all that stuff. So, and then that class, and then if you're around, we'd like you to be at the dinner tomorrow night. And I think we got a few more questions to answer that we can take up, but a lot of things have to be resolved, and let's hope we can resolve them. So I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.